Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Finkelman, and this is The Danny Finkelman Show. For the next hour or so, more of that wonderful music from the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, especially for you. And as I check the hand-printed playlist here, we've got Gladys Knight, Les Paul and Mary Ford, Dusty Springfield, Sonny Till and the Orioles, and Smokey Robinson. They'll all be here. But to kick things off, here's number 5 from November of 1959, Jimmy Clanton and Go, Jimmy, Go.
I told her when it comes to talking, I'm the sweetest, sweet talker in the world. Well, she said, you better start talking if you want me to be your girl. And she said,
go, Jimmy, go. Go, Jimmy, go.
Well, I talked her off the floor when she said,
go, Jimmy, go.
I told her when it comes to dancing, kissing, I ain't nothing but a kissing fool. She started to giggle when I told her that our teacher thinks she never learned in school. And she said,
go, Jimmy, go. Go, Jimmy, go.
Well, I talked her off the floor when she said,
go, Jimmy, go. Go, Jimmy, go.
Go, Jimmy, go, Jimmy Clanton from 1959. So I'm in the dairy aisle and the ice cream aisle at the local supermarket, and I take out the ice cream and it says, half the fat. And I said, what does that mean, half the fat? I mean, I understand the calorie. If they say on the ice cream, 30% less calories. I look on the back and I see the Ben & Jerry's, a half cup instead of being 350 is like 250. I understand the calorie. I don't understand fat. So why do they give us all this nutritional information? What do the marketers think? Half the fat. I don't know. So I look in the back. It might say X number of grams of fat or it doesn't make any sense to me. Weight, percentage, any of that stuff when it comes to fat, trans fats, unsaturated fats, saturated fats means absolutely nothing. So why do they keep, whose brilliant idea was this? It means nothing, half the fat. Is that good or is that bad? Should I have more fat in my diet or less fat? Calories? We all understand calories. We don't have a clue. At least I don't, and I suspect 95% of the population has no clue what half the fat means in terms of, am I going to gain a pound or lose a pound? Am I going to gain a pound, stay the same way, or am I going to lose a pound? Here now are the Olympics, and number 79 from April of 1966, Mine Exclusively.
Baby, I love the feel of your lips, pressing
The Olympics and Mine exclusively, number 99 from April of 1966. It deserved better treatment on the charts. What would happen if they released that as a pop tune today? Would it go anywhere? I don't know. I don't understand the whole music business anymore. Not that I ever did, but I have no idea what's a hit and what isn't, what makes for one this week. Anyway, you know what was good public policy? I was thinking the other day, back when I was a kid, you know what was big, at least in Manitoba, and I bet it was federal policy. Don't be a litter bug. Don't be a litter bug was a big deal when I was younger. You know, 12, 13, 14, 15. Don't be a litter bug. And it worked. People now don't litter the way they used to litter. I used to see lots of litter on highways in Manitoba and stuff flying around when it got windy. They've learned. We have the trash cans and the policy has worked. There's a piece of government legislation and right public expression or government expression of it that works. So we can be trained. The public can be trained. Now, Gladys Knight and the Pips, and number one from September of 1973, Midnight Train to Georgia.
Without him in mind,
the world is his.
than live without him in mind.
Gladys Knight, The Pips, and Midnight Train to Georgia. Talking about Don't Be a Litterbug and how successful that was, the other day I had a Granny Smith apple that I was gnawing on as I got into the car. I'm gnawing on it and I'm with a member of my family. I don't identify anybody. So I'm driving along and I'm finished the apple. There's just a core left. So I roll down the window or I push on the button and I throw it out. And that member of my family said, "What did you do that for? That's littering." I said, "It's not littering. It's organic. It's they're crab apples." This is in a treed neighborhood. They're crab apples all over the street. And they're acorns everywhere. There are leaves everywhere. What is the core of a Granny Smith? Is this against the law? Am I going to be picked up by policemen, cop car for littering the core of a Granny Smith apple? And the person sitting next to me says, it's the act of throwing it out that is wrong. You should not do that. I said, come on, forget it. It's just the core of a Granny Smith. So this is a philosophical question. This is something Immanuel Kant or Schopenhauer, one of the big philosophers, could deal with. Is it or is it not litter? What is the meaning of some word in there? All right. So I'm going to keep throwing out the cores of apples. You know, now, I might think twice about throwing out the pit of a prune or the pit of a plum. You know, maybe that, I still think there's just absolutely nothing wrong with it. All right, now here's Brenda Lee. And I found that this tune was uncharted by Brenda, and I just remember her doing it, and I love it. Here's Brenda Lee with Jambalaya.
Goodbye, Joe, me gotta go, me on my own. Me gotta go, pull the pier down the bayou. My Vaughn, the sweetest one, oh my, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have a bigger fun on the bayou. Jambalaya, crawfish, pine, the filly gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my machete mio. Guitar, real fruit jar, and bagel. Son of a gun, we'll have a bigger fun on the bayou. Fontaine, oh, the place is buzzing. Kinfolks come see Vaughn by the dozen. Dressed in style, go hog wild, oh my, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have a bigger fun on the bio. Jambalaya, crawfish, pineapple, gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my share of me, oh. Pick a tar, fill fruit jar, and son of a gun, we'll have a bigger fun on the bayou. Settle down far from town, get me a pier of home, and I'll catch all the fish in the bayou. Spend my money, get it on what you need, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have a bigger fun on the bayou. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my share of me, oh. Pick a tar, fill fruit jar, and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have a bigger fun on the bio.
Brenda Lee and Jambalaya. You know what I'm not a great fan of? I may have mentioned this on the old show many, many years ago, but it's become kind of overpowering these days. It's the man hug. I understand that the man hug has been big in European culture. In certain parts of Europe, the man hug has been around for eternity or for an eternity, but it's not for me. I'm not a hugger type person or a hugging type person. And I just don't think it's necessary. I mean, I think it comes now from sports. Everybody hugs one another. Even coaches hug one another. Shaking hands seems to be out. And I'm from the shaking hands school. My father and my grandfather were from the shaking hands school. I'm from the shaking hands school. I shake hands with my sons. That's what I do. Sorry, folks, I have to admit, am I a cold fish? Is that why, am I cold? I like shaking hands. It's the British tradition, kind of. That's the style. And Canada was a little bit of Britain and a new land, and that was the tradition, and that's where I stand on it. Don't take a terribly strong position. Don't think there's anything wrong if others want to do it, but it's not for me. Now, here's another uncharted tune that I like very, very much. I don't know why these things creep up. I remember Les Paul and Mary Ford doing this, and I don't understand why in my book it never reached the charts. Here's Les Paul, Mary Ford, and Vaya con Dios.
Hacienda's dark, the town is sleeping. Now the time has come to part, the time for weeping. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my love. Now the village mission bells are softly ringing. If you listen with your heart, you'll hear them singing. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my love. Wherever you may be, I'll be beside you. Although you're many million dreams away, each night I'll say a prayer to guide you, to hasten every lonely hour of every lonely day. Now the dawn is breaking through a great tomorrow, but the memories we share are there to borrow. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my darling.
Les Paul, Mary Ford, and Vaya con Dios. Now let's go straight to Hank Ballard and the Midnighters, number 6 from September of 1960. Here's Let's Go.
Come on.
There he is, Hank Ballard, the Midnighters, and Let's Go. So I was in a Thai food restaurant the other night, and we ask for chopsticks. The reason that I ask for chopsticks is it slows me down. I'm not very good with chopsticks. As I've said, the Asians were great. They understand food way better than North Americans or better than Europeans. They did, but in terms of utensils, they were behind. The fork is better than chopsticks. Anyway, the chopsticks come, and they're sealed in a wrapper. This is the first time I've ever seen chopsticks sealed in a wrapper, and I started thinking about sealed wrapping, and what comes to mind is everything now. Every chocolate bar in the old days, nothing was ever sealed. Nothing. Chocolate bars, gum, all that packaging, Lifesavers, all that stuff didn't come sealed. Now everything is absolutely sealed tight. And it's gotten worse. With Chiclets, or the equivalent of Chiclets, whatever they call ice. You don't have Chiclets, they have ice. They come individually wrapped, the little Chiclet-sized pieces. And it's cumbersome to keep it in your pocket. You used to be able to keep a box of Chiclets. They took up no room. Now a box, the equivalent of a box of Chiclets, takes up your whole pocket. So I'm figuring this is a contra the convention. This is anti-current ideas. You know how in some stores you can buy bulk food? Why can't you have bulk Chiclets? Bulk Lifesavers. You just put the shovel in, the scoop in, and you put it into a plastic bag, and it's by weight. Someone should have an idea and to do gum and all our old favorite candies and Lifesavers and Dentine-style gum, just those little rectangular pieces. You just go in with a shovel with them, and then you buy the stuff by weight. You know, sealing this stuff is all about lawyers and liability, folks, that you're going to get poisoned or you're going to ruin your life if there's something wrong with a Chiclet. All right, here's Dusty Springfield, a number 10 from November of 1968. Son of a Preacher Man.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Dad and Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Talking to me, he come and tell me everything is all right. He kiss and tell me everything's all right. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Lord, oh, he was.
Dusty Springfield, from 1968, Son of a Preacher Man. You know what genre of books never get bad reviews? Mystery books, thrillers. These guys who review them on a regular basis for a couple of publications I read, I've never heard a lousy review. Now, maybe it's because so many books in that genre come out that they only end up reviewing the ones that they think are deserving of a review. But why don't they give a bad review once in a while to a mystery or a thriller from an established writer who might be just off his form? I've read all Elmore Leonard's books. Some of them he was off form on, and they deserved less than a stellar review, but you never see it. I think it's because they're a club, they're a crowd, and extremely polite mystery book writers. They're not like novelists. I remember there were all sorts of fights at one point. I didn't follow it. I remember Mary McCarthy, who was a well-known American novelist, and Lillian Hellman, they were at one another's throats, you know, in the press and everywhere. I don't think that happens among mystery writers. They got better things to do. Now here's Georgie Fame. I love this tune. Number 21 from February of 65. Georgie and his Blue Flames and Yeah Yeah.
Every evening, when all my days work is through, I call my baby and ask her what's up with you. I met some movies, but she don't seem to be gay. And then she asks me, why don't I come through her flat and have some supper and let the evening pass by? I'm making records, this sounds a groovy hi-fi. I say, yeah, yeah, and that's what I say, yeah, yeah. My baby loves me, she gets me feeling so fine. When she loves me, she makes me know that she's mine. And when she kisses, I feel the fire get hot. She never misses, she gives it all that she's got. And when she asks me if everything is okay, I got my answer, the only thing I can say. I say yeah, yeah, that's what I say yeah, yeah. We'll play a melody and turn the lights down low so the night can see. We gotta do that, we gotta do that. We gotta do that, we gotta do that. And there'll be no one else alive in all the world except you and me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pretty baby, I never knew such a thrill. It's hard to tell you because I'm trembling still. But pretty baby, I want you all for my own. I'm ready to leave those others alone. No need to ask me if everything is okay. I got my answer. The thing I can say, I say yeah yeah. That's what I say yeah yeah. That's what I say yeah yeah. It's hard to tell you because I'm trembling slow. But pretty baby, I want you all for my own. I think I'm ready to leave those others alone. No need to ask me if everything is okay. I got my answer. The only thing I can say, I say yeah yeah. That's what I say yeah yeah. That's what I say yeah yeah. That's what I say yeah yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Georgie Fame. On the internet, they have everything. I was just thinking, Georgie Fame, there was a tenor sax solo in there. Remember on how all those hits back in the 50s and 60s, there was a tenor sax. That was a solo in so many of the big hits. Someone has taken it upon himself to tell you who played the tenor sax on all those pieces of music, you know? Now, the name doesn't ring a bell. The only one, I think, was David Fathead Newman, who was Ray Charles' saxophone player, played on some of those early pop hits. They just bring him into the studio and say, you're great, here, give us a solo for this 8 bars or 16 bars, and that was it. But there's someone who's taken the trouble. If you look up tenor sax solos on old hits, someone has put it together. Like, they do everything. You know, there's one thing on the internet that I love. I love Wikipedia for the just finding out about people. People, and sometimes if you want to learn something else, I think that that's a fabulous site. I contribute money to Wikipedia. Not a lot, but it's valuable. I find it valuable, and I spend a lot of time on there, and they deserve your money. There's no advertising, and, you know, send them 10 bucks, 10 or 15 or 20 bucks. I get full value for that every year on the internet. Not that I spend a disproportionate amount of time on it. I love short biographies, short sketches, you know, the 3-volume set of the Winston Churchill, William Manchester biography. I got through 2.5 and that was about it for me. You know, that was too long. By the way, well, we'll talk about it later. Here's Sonny Till and the Orioles, and It's Too Soon to Know.
Does she love me? It's too soon to know. Can I believe her when she tells me so? Is she fooling? Is it all a game? Am I the fire or just another flame? Oh, once I did love would break my heart. She may be just acting and playing the part. If she don't love me, let her tell me so. I can't hold her. If she wants to go, though I'll cry when she's gone, I won't die. I'll live on. If it's so, it's too soon, way too soon. Too soon to know. Can I believe her when she tells me so? Is she fooling? Is it all a game? Am I the fire or just another flame?
Oh, I'll cry.
Sonny Till, the Orioles, and It's Too Soon to Know. Now, here are the Crystals, and number one from September of 1962, He's a Rebel.
Cause he's not just
The Crystals and He's a Rebel. Well, yes, I do have a cell phone. I'm on the $10 a month plan, as is my wife. We're on the $10 a month plan. I keep mine in the car. It's for emergencies. I don't use it. Very few people know the number. I think maybe 3 or 4 people know the number. I don't even know my wife's cell phone number. We don't use a cell phone. We're landline people. But what we've noticed is the people who just have cell phones and are kind of email are au courant technologically. They don't listen to their messages. This is what I've asked other parents. Do your kids listen to the messages, or they kind of email you back? Forget about email. They call you back. I say, did you get my message? This has happened with me a few times, many times in my family. Did you get the message? I didn't listen to it. They don't listen. They don't listen to messages anymore. They know that you called, so they'll call you. But they don't listen to the message. No such thing as listening to messages anymore. It's all texting. You know, we're on the $10 a month plan, and if we go over, we pay for it. But that $10, if you don't use it, you have it to use up in the future. I think I've got $100 or $150 worth of stuff of credit in my account. I just don't use it. I find no need for it. I don't understand what are these people talking about. They need cell phones for it. Apparently, the landline is going the way of the dodo bird. I've got a few things to say about that, but not in this show. But just let's just leave it with I'm with Fred Couples on this. Why would you answer the phone? There might be someone on the other end. I'm not that bad, and being able to identify call display is not the worst thing. When you're getting calls all the time for salespeople, in one form or another. How many times we get called by the local newspapers? How many times we get called by the local telecommunications companies offering us this deal and that deal? So you can just, you don't pick it up. All right, now here are the Duprees in number 7 from August of 1962. You Belong to Me.
You belong. to me.
The Duprees, and You Belong to Me. Our mint, the Canadian Mint, knows what it's doing. The Loonie was good. The Toonie was even better. And America's still got those, the U.S. has the $1 and $2 bills. Inconvenient. And getting rid of the penny was a courageous move, a smart move, something that I've been lobbied for on the old show, I think for at least 10 years. And that was a very, very good move. I think that the nickel is going to go next. We don't need the nickel. But here's my question. With the elimination of the penny, when they advertise something for $13.99, that's $14. They move it up to $14. Is $13.99 false advertising? Because you know that it's $14. Now, if you said it was $13.95, there's no false advertising because there are nickels. So is it really false advertising? Should this be looked into? Does this rate a commission, an investigation by a royal commission into the $13.99, the $4.99, the 13,000? $999.99 rather than $14,000. People think they're getting that stuff works. They've done all the studies. They've done, behavioral economics on stuff like that, that people at $13.99 will buy it, but at $14 won't. It should be looked into. I don't know for what reason. Just look into it. All right, here's Smokey Robinson and the Miracles in number 2 from December of 1960. This was Smokey's first big hit. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. And as I said, number 2 from December of 1960. Here's Shop Around.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me, you better shop around.
Sure, she's in love with you now. My mama
Smokey Robinson, The Miracles, and Shop Around. You know, that reminds me, I never watched American Idol or any of those shows, The Voice, any of those big kind of reality contests. But I remember just tuning into The Voice, or not The Voice, American Idol a couple of years ago, and they have a guest panelist or a guest something or other on the show. And the host, the guest judge, exactly, a guest judge. And the host of the show walks by and he said, "And Smokey Robinson." "Hi, Smokey." "Smokey Robinson wrote, 'You Really Got a Hold on Me, My Girl.'" I mean, ain't that peculiar? Huge, huge catalog of hits. And they just kind of ignored him as a judge. He deserved some sort of honest and celebrated introduction, you know, and he got nothing on this show. And then I just turned it off. All right, here's Johnny Mercer. We like to play him late in the show. He always wrote the lyrics to these tunes, not necessarily the melodies, and I just love his lyrics. Here's Johnny Mercer and Candy.
Because I'm sweet on candy, and candy's sweet on me.
She understands me, my understanding candy.
And candy's always handy
when I need sympathy.
I wish that there were four of her, so I could love much more of her.
She has taken my complete heart,
got a sweet tooth for my sweetheart Candy.
It's gonna be just dandy
the day I take my candy and make her mine, all mine.
Johnny Mercer sung it. Johnny Mercer wrote the lyrics. Candy. Now, here's Mary Wells in number 8 from March of 1962, The One Who Really Loves You.
Some other girls are feeling your head will jive. So now you're acting like you're
Mary Wells and The One Who Really Loves You. Next tune, it's going to be Last Dance, Slow Dance, but I was just looking at the name of the group. The tune is Dry Your Eyes by Brenda and the Tabulations. And I think, well, tabulations is you're adding up things. You're a tabulator. What has that got to do with music? I mean, Brenda must have liked the Asians on the back because there are the Sensations. There are the Temptations, one of my favorite groups. Vito, I remember Vito and the Salutations. There were the Vibrations. All these groups with Asians on the end. She wanted to be an Asian, so she was a tabulation. Maybe she's... Someone should have alerted her to that fact. Well, here she is Brenda with her tabulations, number 20, from February of 67. So kick back the rug, adjust the dimmer switch, assume the vertical position, because here is Dry Your Eyes. Brenda and the Tabulations. Should have been Brenda and the Congratulations. Brenda and the Renovations. Doesn't matter. That does it for this edition of The Danny Finkelman Show. I'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Next Saturday, new show. Until then, I'm Danny Finkelman. And that's it, everybody.